Good morning. Yes, it is Confirmation Sunday. If you just walked in, we're celebrating our 10 confirmants today, and so I'm going to preach from down here so I can be a little bit closer to the confirmants, maybe even tap them if they fall asleep or something, right? Not that that would ever happen in our church. So most of my message is going to be for the confirmants, but I invite you to overhear. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm a little bit of a science geek, and I especially love it when I happen upon some really strange scientific discovery. And so I want to share something with you all that I read years ago, and I need to give a trigger warning. You know what a trigger warning is, right? We're talking about that now. For you all and other young people in here, this may completely gross you out, okay? Anyway, apparently scientists have found that some of your mother's cells are still floating around in your bloodstream. And tiny bits of you, your cells, may be stored in your mom's spleen. That's like in here somewhere, right? The spleen? How does this happen, you may be wondering? Well, during pregnancy, the mother and the fetus literally are exchanging cells, leaving little bits of the child inside the mother and little bits of the mother inside the child. And it lasts for decades after your birth. So, while I know that you're tired of your mom always looking over your shoulder and you wish that your mom would just get off your back, right? News alert, your mom is in your back. She's in your back. Yeah, but you're in her back too, okay? Yeah, there's paybacks. So now why would I bring this up on Confirmation Sunday? Because for many of you, and maybe for a bunch of us this morning, we're going to go through this service today of confirmation. We've already been through most of it. And you're going to look in the mirror afterwards and you're going to wonder, did anything happen? I mean, I look pretty much the same as I did yesterday. I'm dressed up a little bit more, but, you know, did anything really happen? I don't look any different on the outside. You ever wonder about that when you've been in worship for a while? What happened? So here's the deal. Just like your mother's cells in you represent that deep connection that you have with your parents, so you have a deep connection with Christ. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. In the reading that Marcia shared with us this morning, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Even though my grandfather and my dad were really fantastic gardeners, I have the black thumb of death with plants. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, amen. Okay. Start a club. And so gardening images always kind of unsettle me a little bit. They bring flashbacks. The last time that I tangled with a vine, seriously, it involved a weed eater and a near-death experience for the vine. Linda walked outside and she said, "I just asked you to trim it. You know, what happened?" And I said, "It's okay, honey, it'll grow back. I'm sure it'll grow back." They always grow back, right? But Jesus tells us this, that we are branches, that we are connected to a vine. Seriously, Pastor John, we're grapevines? That's it? I mean, what if I want to be a huge, bodacious sunflower? What if I want to be a riveting red rose glowing out there in the field? I want to be out there on my own, nothing holding me back. I want to choose my own part. Maybe I'll even do a little bit of my own pruning. But Jesus is clear. He is the vine, right? We are the branches. We're deeply connected to him and to each other. It's kind of a neat image for the church when you think about it, if you've ever tangled with vines. We are this viney, branchy, tangled mess. We're in it together. And without that relationship, messy as it is, we don't do very well. We don't grow in faith and hope and love. Now, some of you all have struggled very honestly, and you've been, and I appreciate that about you guys, when we get together in confirmation class, you don't like hold back any punches or anything. You just let me have it, right, with your questions. And they have, this group has some of the same questions that you all do about the faith. They don't ask it in the same ways. They don't ask questions about the resurrection. They ask about Tupac And you can ask them to explain that one later, right? So, you have had some struggles. Particularly, one struggle that you had was over taking on the name Christian, right? That we're going to be Christians because of what that name implies today, right? When you think about it. What do you think of when you think of a Christian? Loudmouth bigots who hate gays and Muslims, who want to send immigrants back home, who think their way is the highway. That's the way it's pictured in the media, right? And you don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to be a part of that. Can I get an amen that they don't want to be a part of that? Amen? Yeah. I mean, I hope you're encouraged to know most of us struggle with that too in our own ways. And sometimes, have you also, to the adults for a minute, have you ever been in a conversation with a stranger, maybe when you were traveling somewhere, and you maybe found out that the other person was a Christian, or you let this person know that you were in the church, and in the course of the conversation, as you listen to this person's description of Christianity, you're thinking, I believe I have more in common with the Jewish rabbi than I do with this person. It's difficult. It is. And so I want you to know, we all struggle with this too. With all the things that you all are struggling with, we do too. And this is a good thing. We want to wear a badge that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that kind of Christian, okay? So when I say today that you are in Christ, I want you to think of this. I want you to think of the ways that you are part of a loving, compassionate, inclusive, justice-seeking, sometimes messy, viney, branchy body that we call church. And you find your marching orders not in the extreme right wing of a political party or in the wing of any political party, but your marching orders come from the all-embracing mercy of God. And they come from that boundary-breaking power of Jesus. This is what we're about here in this place. I want all of you to know that because you've worshiped right here, and because you've received communion, because you've passed the peace, because you all have been in confirmation classes for 6 months and walked in the MLK march and wrestled with the teachings of the church and what it means to follow Jesus, and because you've fed the hungry and you've clothed the naked, that although you may go home this afternoon and look in the mirror and you don't look any different, although you may not feel any different because of what happened today, you're different. You're different because you are part of this body, the body of Christ. A while back, I was talking with a student about worship, a college student, and she said that now whenever she eats bread, she looks around for some juice to dip in it. She said this completely innocently, right? She said, they just seem to go together so perfectly. I don't know, what's up with that? I wonder where she learned that. Right here, right? At the table, where you learned it, where the rest of us learned it. Take it one step further. Because you are baptized, because you all are confirmed, because you are now a part of this body, you may find yourself thinking and doing things that are really odd. You may find that, for example, the harassment of a classmate, even somebody who is really annoying, that it just gets under your skin and you feel like you want to do something. You may find yourself jumping on somebody for a racial slur or because they were telling an ethnic joke, and the words are out of your mouth before you can even stop them. You may find yourself signing up to go help somebody that you don't even know, serve a meal to them, paint their house, rebuild their church, people that you've never met before. Why? Because you are different, because you are in Christ, because God's love is coursing through your veins and it's reshaping your attitudes and your life and your actions in some deep ways. You know what else? This branchy, hooked together, viney thing that we call church, it means that you will see the work of God's kingdom, not just here in this place, but that you'll see it outside in other places. Did any of you see the halftime show at the Super Bowl? Did you? I know, I was with the college students, and they were living for the halftime show, right? A few of them were paying attention to the game, but when the halftime show came on, riveted. Okay. Did you catch Beyonce's performance of Formation? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know much about Beyonce. I mean, I'm not a bee in the hive, so. Any bees in the hive? Somebody who's laughing, I think, is. Yes. So I didn't completely get the lyrics when I first heard but I listened to it over and over again. You know, let's get information. Information. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so I listened to it. And the more I listened to it, I thought, she's singing and dancing about the same stuff that we're trying to do here, about racial reconciliation, right? I mean, there's a connection that Black Lives Matter, that the violence is just, that it's got to end, that the judicial system is not impartial, that the system is broken, that the work of fighting racism, that is God's own work, even though it's happening in a video on YouTube, right? And not in a church sanctuary. Amen? And you want to join in. You want to join in because you're connected. One of my favorite preachers is Peter Story. He was a bishop in South Africa for years, and he tells a story about this huge celebration that went on in South Africa, and it was at the end, after apartheid ended. And one of the new premiers was a guy named Terror Lakoto. He was called Terror because he was literally a terror on the soccer field, the football field. And he'd been arrested and jailed numerous times during apartheid, but then he was freed after apartheid ended. And he was elected premier, which means kind of like governor of his province. And so this gathering was in a huge football stadium, and there were elected leaders there, newly elected leaders, and there were also church leaders in attendance, and then all kinds of people were there. And here's part of what Lakoto said to the gathering. He said, "We want to thank you for what the church has done. We want to thank you for what the church has done," he said. "Thank you for visiting us in prison. Thank you for sitting with us in the courtroom. Most of all, thank you for baptizing us. When you baptized us, you declared in this land that treated us as non-persons that we are royalty created in the image of God. It was our baptism that deep down gave us the courage to endure, because we know who we are, created people created by God." Do you know who you are today? So maybe you thought this service was just about kneeling and saying a few words and a little sprinkle of water. But I'm telling you, baptism and confirmation, this is powerful stuff. This is soul-shaping, world-forming stuff. Amen? So listen up, confirmants. Listen. You are royalty. You are royalty. You are loved by God more than you know. You're children of God. You're not just the future of the church. You hear that a lot, right? You're the future of the church. You're not just the future of the church. You are the church, right? You are doing the work of the church right now, and you all are going to find out more about this when their project is unveiled. You are the church. You're bound together with all of us. You're connected with this branchy, viney mess that we call the church that will give you strength, that will give you endurance. You're on a mission from God, to quote the Blues Brothers, to do justice and to love, mercy, and kindness, to save puppies, for sure, but also to save the planet. Amen? Thank you.